today's news.
Hello, and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers of yesterday. Well, this week, what else could I choose but Peel commissioners, where there appears to be something of, what shall we call it, a rumpus going on. Confusion, or more than confusion, who knows? I'll leave you to decide that yourself, and we shall see what transpires. Suffice to say, it seemed a good reason to go rummaging back into the archives of the papers to see how the commissioners have fared over the years. Have there been previous cases of confusion and upset? Well, the answer is yes, there has. I'll take you back to the 1940s to start. We go to the Times of Saturday, January the 9th, 1943. It's not all confusion, of course. Making sure of Peel Commissioners' Chairman, elected again this week. Following a month without a chairman, the Peel Commissioners have made sure that the person they finally selected was legally elected on Wednesday, when Mr. Albert E. Ostick received the unanimous vote of his colleagues before any ordinary business was dealt with. Mr. Ostick had already been elected at a special meeting held last week, this being the fourth attempt to find a chairman. At Wednesday's meeting, Mr. Ostick said that seeing the question of the chairmanship was being challenged, he felt the procedure of election should be gone through again at this meeting, as he did not want any mudslinging afterwards. Perish the thought. Mr. Jenkinson, by whom? The chairman, by anyone. Mr. F.C. Kane, well put, sir. The chairman said at the last meeting everything was done in such a hurry and everyone went away so quickly that he did not know what had really happened. This ringing bells with contemporary times? I think it might be. He would feel much happier if he got a unanimous vote. The members then formally voted Mr. Ostick to the chair, and replying, the chairman said the members of the board were present to represent the ratepayers of Peel as a whole and not small sections. Listen up, Peel ratepayers. He asked for their full cooperation and that all personal remarks be set aside. 1943. We skip to 1945 in the Examiner, Friday, August the 3rd. And again, it could be a headline running in the papers of today. Peel commissioners stage another farce. A deadlock developed at Peel Commissioners' meeting on Wednesday when members of the Streets Committee withdrew on the suggestion of Mr. W. O. Quayle. For many years, the business of the board has been dealt with by two committees, the Streets Committee and the Finance Committee, in the first place, and recommendations have come before the full board at the next monthly meeting. At the last monthly meeting, the chairman, Mr. A.W. Tier, moved a resolution that the full board should sit on both committees, and a decision in favour of the resolution was given by the casting vote of the chairman. At a special meeting of the Streets Committee on July the 23rd, Messrs. A.E. Ostick and J. Watterson were present as newly elected members, but the chairman of the Streets Committee, Mr. J. Farragher, asked them to retire from the meeting as he did not consider they had been legally elected members. The new members withdrew along with Mr. Tier, and the three remaining members continued to sit and do business. The minutes came before the board for adoption on Wednesday, but the chairman of the commissioners refused to accept the minutes on the ground there was not a quorum present at the Streets Committee's meeting, there being only three members out of a possible seven. Members of the Streets Committee pointed out that the resolution fixing the number of members of the committees had not been rescinded, but Mr. Ostick said that in the minutes of the previous monthly meeting, which had been confirmed at the commencement of the present meeting, the resolution had been carried that members of the Streets Committee and Finance Committee consist of seven members instead of four as previously. A discussion indicated that no progress was possible and the meeting was closed. You sometimes wonder how commissioners actually get any work done whatsoever when they can spend hours debating about how they're going to sit at the committee to debate what they're going to debate. I think more time spent doing that than actually sorting out issues sometimes. Well, it's good to see we've made progress from 1945 anyway. Or maybe not. The Alaman Times, Saturday, January the 31st, 1948. Peel Commissioner replies to attack. Mr. Cottier does not like being told to buck up. Plain speaking to Mr. A.D. McAvoy. At the recent dinner in the Isle of Man Fish Merchants and Curers Association, the chairman, Mr. Alfred D. McAvoy, made an attack on the Peel commissioners. He alleged that Peel commissioners were not taking sufficient interest in the fishing industry at Peel and said the Peel commissioners should buck up. At Wednesday's meeting of Peel commissioners, Mr. Robert E. Cottier said he very much resented this attack on the town board made by Mr. McAvoy, who, said Mr. Cottier, had told the town board to buck up. Mr. Cottier went on, I resent this attack made by Mr. McAvoy on the Peel Commissioners, of which I am a member. If he meant the old board, he should have said so. Perhaps it was that the turkey was too strong for Mr. McAvoy, and that was what made him talk. I would like to say one or two things to Mr. McAvoy, as I think Mr. McAvoy should buck his own ideas up a bit and look after his fishing business. Mr. McAvoy is one of those people who thinks everyone here in Peel was wrong, and that he, the only one, right. This is beginning to ring bells again too, isn't it? Mr. McAvoy talked about the Peel commissioners interesting themselves in the Peel fishing, but I would like to know what real interest the same Mr. McAvoy has in Peel fishing. I'd like to know how many times Mr. McAvoy bought the catches of the Peel boats all last summer. I would like to know how many times he has bought the whitefish from Peel boats this winter, apart from one occasion of a glut when he phoned and offered to pound a box for fish the Peel men had been getting 35 shillings and ninepence per box from the other merchants. This is the Mr. McAvoy who tells this board to buck up. I strongly resent his remarks. There was no further comment. Yellowman Times, Friday, September the 1956. Peel Commissioners, four-hour meeting. I wonder if they managed to actually decide what they were going to talk about at the end of the 4 hours, or they were just debating how they were going to debate it. But this is a good old Peel problem. Sewerage and fish offal. Peel Commissioners sat for 4 hours on Wednesday evening when, due to the absence of Mr. T.E. Cowell, Chairman, Colonel Forrest presided after a secret ballot. Then discussions on the last minutes took practically 2 hours. One member was heard to say he did not think they were wasting time. Mr. Kinley raised the matter of a rail on the top wall of the breakwater for the safety of anglers. Mr. Cottier replied the harbour engineer had the matter in hand. Mr. Albert Hill thanked the Entertainments Committee and the Carnival Committee and the town clerk, Mr. Kelly, for their work during the season. Sewerage and offal problem. Well, these matters were discussed for a long time, various reports being heard. Captain Cowley, harbour master, reported on the filthy condition of the harbour, and the board secretary asked what steps were being taken by the commissioners to deal with it. The acting chairman said the whole matter was under investigation. Then Inspector Lowy's report gave details of a complaint by visitors and instanced the case of a girl who was in a state of collapse after she had swallowed fish fat whilst swimming. Yum. After the heavy rains in August, also, the drains had been filled up with fish oil and fish offal. Consequently, some premises had been flooded. That must have been nice. The local government board had reported that after Inspector Lowe had made his report, the matter would be gone into, and it was agreed to discuss the subject with the harbour board. Welcome signs are to be erected on all roads. Welcome to fish fat, offal and oil. Leading into Peel for next season, the suggestion came from Mr. Albert Hill, and the welcome will be expressed in Manx as well as English. Mr. Hill also spoke of the ignoring by many motorists of the halt signs on the Ramsey Road at the top of Stanley Road. The acting chairman said he had never seen a halt sign on a main road. It was terribly difficult for visitors, and it was agreed that the works committee meet Inspector Lowy on the matter. Colonel Forrest also said at the last meeting that the press had got an erroneous impression of Inspector Lowy's views regarding the corner of Patrick Street and Station Road. It was now quite clear the inspector was and always had been in favour of a halt sign at the top of Station Road, and that he had stated this. It was announced the work on the new swimming pool would begin on October the 15th, and the commissioners would make a plea that as much local unskilled labour as possible be used. Not there anymore now, sadly, I don't think, is it? Well, there is a swimming pool, but not that one. The Yellowman Times, Friday, October the 19th, 1956. Peel Commissioners, leakages of private business. Ah, here we are. Normal business has resumed. More complaints at Wednesday's meeting. There were again complaints at the Peel Commissioners' meeting on Wednesday of leakages of private information from committee meetings of the board, or mettings, as it says here in the paper. Mr. Fred Kinley said he'd been told certain facts of private meetings when in Douglas. Mr. Albert Hill said the commissioners were in a position of trust, yet he'd been told from outsiders what had taken place in private. This was the third time in his 11 months' membership of the commissioners a leakage like this had occurred. Mr. Frank Dalgleish thought it was a shocking state of affairs and agreed with Mr. Hill that the conduct of the commissioners' meetings be inquired into. A letter was read from the Alaman Highway Board that improvements would be carried out at the Lurgidoo Road. Invitation to Vintage Motorcycle Club. A letter from Mr. Jeff Davison, editor of the Vintage Motorcycle Journal, sent to his personal friend Colonel Forrest, the chairman of the Entertainments Committee, was read. It was agreed the Vintage Motorcycle Club be invited to visit Peel after the competition of their rally around the old TT course, and that a concours d'élégance be held for which the commissioners would give the prizes and the competitors and officials be entertained to tea by the Peel commissioners. I bet they couldn't wait. traffic regulations, Mr. L. Watterson of Christian Street wrote that his business was suffering because of the no waiting signs. And Colonel Forrest said there was a difference between no waiting and no parking. If a car stopped, said the Colonel, the driver goes into a shop, made purchases, then got into his car and drove away. He hadn't parked. Mr. R. E. Cartier said Christian Street should have the same facilities as Michael Street. And Mr. Fred Kinley said now the garage had gone from Christian Street, the no waiting sign could be removed altogether. After considerable discussion, it was agreed that the no waiting sign be removed, subject to the bylaw being rescinded by the local government board. Are you parked if you stop outside? I suppose you are. Or are you waiting? The debate rages on. Happier times in Times, the Isle of Man Times, that is, Friday, September the 13th, 1957. Peel commissioners have a night out. And a good old punch-up, no doubt. The members of Peel commissioners, together with the town clerk, had a night out on Monday in private cars and at no expense to the rates. Quite right, too, when they visited Douglas and Laxey. The object of the trip was to see various types of shelters and the Laxey Glen improvements. The next day, one commissioner said to the Times they had an enjoyable evening and another that it had a most useful evening. The subject of shelters on Peel Promenade and the development of the Headland Brews have been before the commissioners for years, and perhaps some action will now be taken. And finally, 1955. Going back a year, in fact, their Times, the Isle of Man Times, Friday, January the 7th. Wireless interference is a scandal, say Peel commissioners. The commissioners decided on Wednesday to support the Radio Dealers Association regarding radio and TV interference after members had stated the wireless reception in the Western City was a scandal. Couldn't even get Manx Radio. Mind you, we hadn't started in 1955, so they were wasting their time. Mr. Cartier complained of interference. Mr. A.W. Tier, chairman, said only two BBC stations could be used at Peel. Mr. Fred Kinley said sets were no use in the daytime. Happily, they now are. And you can listen to wonderful programmes like this, or Tom, or The News, or music, or whatever you like here on Manx Radio. Other channels, of course, are available, as are other commissioners. And I'm sure they all do very good work once they've decided how they're going to go about it, which could actually take longer. Whichever way you look at it, commissioners, Peel or otherwise, have been in the papers for decades, centuries probably, definitely old news. Until next time, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.